Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Jesus Christ, of whom the prophets of old foretold, whom God himself had promised, has come into the world. Truly man, born of the Virgin Mary, born in a lowly stable, wrapped in clothed, and placed in a manger. Yet, truly God, the Word from all eternity, begotten of the Father before all worlds, by whom all things were made, was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and made man. The angel proclaimed his coming, and the heavenly host praised God for him, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is well pleased." Magi from afar visited him and worshiped him as the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Son of God who would save his people. And as we just heard in Epiphany, his people were not only the Jews, but they were the Gentiles also. That includes all of us. The angel said he brought good news of great joy that would be for all the people. This is the Jesus Christ whom our gospel says came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. Now, remember, John the Baptist was preparing the way for this very man, Jesus Christ. And John was proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. But Jesus was without sin. He didn't need such a baptism. Yes, Jesus was without sin. But just as Jesus himself says in our gospel, he did this to fulfill all righteousness. Not for his own sake, but for our sake, Jesus was baptized in the Jordan River. Just as we noted on New Year's Eve, Jesus had to live his life in perfect obedience to his Father in heaven, and thus to the law, in order to fulfill all righteousness on our behalf, even suffering as a perfect sacrifice for us on the cross. In Jesus' baptism, we see a miraculous manifestation of the triune God, which even has ramifications for us today. Matthew tells us in our gospel lesson, when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." Did you see it? The three in one? I'll give you a little hint. Throughout the Old Testament and all the way into the New Testament, when the Bible says, "And behold," this is a sure sign that we should perk up and get ready for something amazing to happen. Jesus, the Son of God, was baptized, and then Matthew says, And behold, the heavens were opened to him. Mark even goes a little further and says, he saw the heavens being torn open. Then, Matthew says, he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. For John the Baptist, this was the sign that the one he had prophesied about had come. The Son of God had come. Then, Matthew uses another, "and behold," when he says, "And behold, a voice from heaven said, 'This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased.'" Therefore, in Jesus' baptism, the heavens are open to him, the Holy Spirit descends on him, and God the Father speaks, telling us Jesus is his beloved Son, and he is well pleased with him. If that wasn't good enough, it gets better. This is what you have in your own baptism through faith in Jesus Christ. In your baptism, heaven is open to you. The Small Catechism says your baptism works forgiveness of sins, rescues from death and the devil, and gives eternal salvation to all who believe this, as the words of God promise. The words and promises of God declare. Jesus started his public ministry with his baptism, in which he says, "For thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." But Jesus' final act to fulfill all righteousness was performed on the cross, where he says, "It is finished." And as he gave up his spirit, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The Holy of Holies, heaven itself, was torn open to those who believe and are baptized. You also receive the Holy Spirit in your baptism. Paul says in Titus 3, "He saved us not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior." Now, this was not done because you had done any righteous works, but for the sake of Jesus Christ our Savior, who fulfilled all righteousness on your behalf. To those who believed during the first Pentecost, Peter says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself." In your baptism, you receive the Holy Spirit. In your baptism, through faith in Jesus Christ, you become God's beloved sons and daughters, in whom he is well pleased. Paul says in Galatians 3, "For in Christ Jesus you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." Before your baptism, you were held captive under the law, a slave to sin and the devil. But Jesus Christ fulfilled the law, redeeming you from the curse of the law, rescuing you from sin and the devil, and earning you the right to be called sons and daughters of God, and therefore heirs of the promise given to Abraham. Just as Paul goes on to say in Galatians 4, so you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. In baptism, Christ's righteousness is put on you. When God the Father looks at you, he sees his beloved Son's righteousness, in whom he is well pleased. Now, without faith in Christ given to you in baptism, you have none of these things. Heaven is closed to you because, as Isaiah tells us, all our righteous deeds are like filthy rags. Without Christ's righteousness, there would be no forgiveness of sins, and you would be destined to hell. Without Christ's righteousness, heaven is shut to you. Jesus says in Mark 16, he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Also, without baptism, you don't receive the Holy Spirit. No, but you have an evil spirit. God is not your father, but the devil is your father. Jesus says of those who would not believe in John 8, you are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Now, the Old Testament tells us, behold my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. For the one who is not baptized, who does not believe, who has not been forgiven of their sins, who has not put on Christ's righteousness, this would be a terrifying statement. Jesus will one day return and bring justice to all the nations. But for the baptized in Christ, for those who believe, this promise is as sweet as honey. Jesus did bring justice to the nations. He was baptized, lived a perfect life, suffered and died to fulfill all righteousness. He is for us, for the baptized, he is wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption, declares Paul in our epistle lesson. Though your righteousness isn't able to unlock heaven, receive the Spirit, or earn God's love or pleasure, Christ's righteousness gives you, in baptism, Christ's righteousness is your righteousness. Because of that, you have an open heaven ahead of you, the Holy Spirit within you, and a loving Father who is well pleased with you. In the name of Jesus, amen.